Welcome to this podcast on social sustainability and development of district heating. Social sustainability is an often overlooked type of sustainability. We are familiar with the economic and the environmental type of sustainability. We know what it is. We have tools to measure it and standard procedures for implementing it. But that is not where we are with social sustainability. In this podcast, my two guests will share their understanding of this third type of sustainability and help us see the connection to the development of district heating systems. So listen in as we dive into why district heating companies should think about social sustainability. My name is Hanne Kortegaard Stykkel. I'm with the Danish Board of District Heating, and I'm hosting this podcast. My two guests are Christina Lygnerød, who is a professor at the University of Lund in Sweden, and postdoc Joanna Eru from the Vienna University of Economics and Business in Austria. The three of us share a curiosity about investment decisions and business model, and we developed this research project to investigate social sustainability in the context of district heating. Christina, why do you think the International Energy Agency decided to fund this research, which they did in 2024 through their district heating and cooling platform? Why do you think they did that?
Thank you, Hanne. I think there is a lot of knowledge on technical dimensions and economic dimensions associated to district energy, but the context or the concept of social sustainability has been less explored, especially in the business context. So to my knowledge, this is the first study of its kind, and I believe that's why we were funded.
Joanna, let me ask you a question we've met many times. What is social sustainability? Is there an easy answer to that?
So thank you for inviting us here. That's a very tricky question, actually, and there is no easy answer to that. And that's a hurdle we found quite early on in our research, that social sustainability has many different aspects, many different understandings from different stakeholders. So the understanding we took for our research, and the one that is kind of the most widespread, is that social sustainability is about understanding and managing the impacts, both positive and negative, that your activity can have on its stakeholders. And stakeholders is a very wide range of stakeholders, both the internal of your company, the one that are impacted by your activities in any way, both now when you're doing your activity, but also in the future, because you have some impact that will also create some changes for future generations, for instance. So when we're talking about working on social sustainability, it's kind of at least mitigating the negative impact your activity can have, and in the best case, try to improve the social impact of your activity. And what we mean with this social impact, it can go from like ensuring a fair and transparent practices within your company, with your employees and your customers, but it goes also all the way to developing projects and partnerships with local partners, and to really ensure that the value you're creating is shared with the whole community, and that you engage with your local community and with all your stakeholders.
The research also included a case study together with the city of Burnaby in Metro Vancouver, Canada. And we did a lot of in-person interviews with a wide range of stakeholders. Could you share some of the answers that you found particularly interesting?
So interviews are always a very interesting thing. That's part of the research that I really love. And here in when we were in Canada, what was really nice to see that the focus the interviewees had was quite different from what we could expect from our knowledge of the Europe context, for instance. So when we think about social sustainability in Europe, it can be linked to this idea of a fair and just transition and the idea of fuel poverty, for instance. And fuel poverty was a thing that was not used at all in Canada. But there was a link that they made between district energy and health that we don't have so much in Europe, I feel. So that was also interesting to see that the idea of heating was much more linked to the idea of health compared to the idea of fuel poverty. And something that was also very nice for me to hear was the perspective of a different type of stakeholders. So usually we go for the customers, the district heating companies, the public authorities and all of that. But here in Canada, we try to have a very wide range of stakeholders. And we also discussed with kind of unusual interviewees. So architects, office for managing disaster events, or all those type of more outsiders, but that also have an idea of district energy and also have a say in how it can develop and that are impacted by it or can impact it. And it was nice because, for instance, architects, they have their way of building their buildings, and district energy made them think about, okay, so how do we have to adapt our buildings for district energy, or what can it bring value-wise to our buildings? And the Office of Managing Disaster Events, for instance, they had this very strong idea of where can we put the plans and where is it relevant disastrous events-wise, like next to a river, there are some risks associated with that. So all these different perspectives that we don't necessarily see, but that are very interesting when we're talking about social sustainability, because the idea is to have really this sharing of value and ensuring that all stakeholders see the benefits and get some positive impact out of the district heating.
So I was wondering if you could give me some examples of social values that all stakeholders agree on, or where there was different views.
The stakeholders, they all felt that recovering waste heat from a waste combustion plant, which was the case in Canada, was a good idea, because then it's a very green value and you make use of something that is locally available. So this, I think, was the main driver for the city itself and also a very important element for the other stakeholders. And then apart from that, they had differing interests. So for example, there was a big discussion about, is there enough space to include district energy in the buildings? Does it free up space? Does it take space? So it was a commercial discussion if it's something that is valuable to build in or not. And then also the dimension of cooling came up. So a combination of heating and cooling would be something very important to many stakeholders. And probably that's a result of Canada being affected significantly by heat waves in the past years.
And just to follow up on that, you already mentioned it, Christina, but the stakeholders were interviewed. They had also very different levels of awareness. So depending on how close they were to the project, they also had a stronger idea of what the project would look like, and so the values that could be associated with it. Whereas some others that were a bit more outsiders, let's say, they had a vague idea of what district energy was and district heating was. So of course, the values they associated and the views they had on the social values were very different and more related to their own job. So for instance, health or disaster events or things like that.
So if you sum up the main message of social impact.
So in our research and from what we've experienced both in Canada and in other research projects we could have made, and from the literature review we've seen and all of that, it's become quite clear that social sustainability is something that is quite fuzzy. But what is very important about it is that the activity you have impacts both your local stakeholders, your internal stakeholders, but also your outside stakeholders. So the social impact is not just on the core part of your activity of district heating in our case, but it's also outside district heating, and it impacts all sorts of stakeholders, like architects, for instance, one example we've already taken.
And to just emphasize what you say there, Johanna, I think thinking about business cases, it's really about considering activities outside of your core business. And when you do that, you anchor your business case to the local community. So if you are, for example, engaging with an educational institution, educating future generations about energy supply, then you also have a very positive link, because you get feedback from society, you get goodwill, that kind of interest, and you also establish a pool of potential candidates to hire later on. So that was just one example of how you can become somebody in the local community and can contribute to it. So I think that's the main social dimension that was really clear also in Canada.
So there are some social values and different stakeholders value them in different ways. Let's dig more into the value chain of district heating and see how social sustainability relates to that. Christina, you worked with value chain of district heating before. What would you highlight from adding the social dimension to district heating? Where does it show up in the value chain for district heating?
Yes. So in this project, we actually made a comparison of more mature markets and the value chain of district heating there, and then the context of Canada. And we see that the social values, they enter in all parts of the value chain, but in the more technical elements, they are combined with economic and environmental dimensions. Whereas later on in the value chain, when it comes to marketing, outreach, after sales, that's where you can have a big impact when you communicate about it to the society or you engage with your customers to co-create new solutions, that kind of thing.
Joanna, what did you notice in the analysis of value chains?
So I'm less familiar with the value chain analysis, but I found it very interesting to see the results we came with because it's a way to have a very holistic view of how social sustainability can be integrated in really from the very start of your value chain to the very end of it and in all types of activities. And what I've found is that when we're doing this analysis, social sustainability can be a part of all activities, like really all the activities in your value chain, but it can be both a positive or a negative thing. So if you work on it, you can create value or social value, and then it can relate to other types of value. But if you don't work on it, that's where you can have a negative social impact because you're just doing your classic business as usual and you're not thinking about the social impact you're having. And then that's when you can have a negative impact. So I found that this value chain analysis was very interesting to see that and to see where were the threats or the weaknesses in social sustainability throughout the whole value chain.
In the report we will publish in the fall, there's some interesting table in the research report. It's, one of them lists the monetary and non-monetary impacts of different social KPIs. Why this split, and can you share some of the non-monetary impacts on social sustainability?
Well, maybe I can give a background to the idea to establish social KPIs for district heating. We didn't have this idea from the beginning in the project, but when we were in Canada, we realized that in order to be seen, you need to have some kind of visibility, and KPIs was something that was well known. So that's why we invested some time in understanding what social KPIs exist and which ones are relevant for district energy. And that's how we came up with the table. And it's split in two different parts because some are very easy to identify as monetary, whereas others are much more intangible. And examples of intangible that are often a standard in companies, it's to have a good working condition set up for your employees, good salaries, equality of gender, that kind of thing. So we even saw that it's such sanitary threshold that we shouldn't focus on understanding those values. So they were omitted from our list of social KPIs. And instead we focused on other ones.
For the non-monetary ones, there were lots of them actually, because social value is not something you can easily monetize in first approximation. So of course there are some you can, like the price, having affordable price or just price for everyone, it's linked quite well to the economy. But then a lot of them, like the education or the link to other local activities, like the philanthropic activities, for instance, or making building inclusive and having all the educational work with the schools, all of that are some social, bring some social value, but it's quite intangible. You can't really translate this into money directly. So that's why we think it was interesting to show that non-monetary impact was actually a huge part of social sustainability, but a very important one also.
And other examples that come to mind are, for example, the impact on the cityscape. If you build inclusive buildings and beautiful buildings, then people are more inclined to think about it as a positive element.
To add on what Kristina just said, for instance, the impact on the cityscape, there are several layers actually of impact there, because if your building does not abide by the idea the municipality has of what it wants its cityscape to look like, maybe you won't get the permit to actually build your buildings. So there is this first like threshold that you need somehow to be compliant to the regulations, but also to do something that people will accept. And then there is the second layer that if you have a building that is kind of a signal of sustainability and is an aesthetic building and it's inclusive, it will also change the vision people have of district energy. So if you have a very clear building, people will say, oh, district energy, yeah, it's linked to this building there. And they will have a different opinion, a more positive, perhaps, idea of what district heating is. So there are like kind of several layers just with one KPI.
So we talked a lot about it in the project, that we have ripple effects, right? You have a drop of water and then it has a lot of circles around it. And that's the way that social sustainability seems to work. It can have a direct impact somewhere and then multiple layers of indirect impact.
Let's talk about the drivers, the internal and external drivers for social sustainability. Kristina, I know you have some thoughts on that, so please share.
Yes. So social sustainability is, in the context of business cases, it's an innovation. You have business models, you have sustainable business models, you have socially sustainable business models. And of course, innovations appear for a reason. And the way I think about it, you have both external and internal drivers for the social dimension, where external elements that we see a lot in Europe, and also then to some extent in Canada, is the fairness and justice. And then you have the importance of being transparent. And we see new regulations in Europe on sustainability reporting, for example, and there you need to enhance the transparency of your actions. And that's again something where you have to show different dimensions of caring for your surrounding community and the planet. So I believe there are a lot of external drivers, and then they are internalized, because in order to be competitive, you need to work with these elements. In order to attract talent, you need to have these elements. So it's kind of linked.
So there are things that could bring value to society and to the district heating company itself, which leads us to the next topic, how to make it happen. Joanna, in Burnaby, it's the municipality and the regional Metro Vancouver that is driving the development of district heating. And again, I want to split this question in two. What can the municipality do to advance social sustainability in district heating? And second question, what can the district heating company do to benefit from including the social dimension?
So I think the answer to that is quite linked to what Kristina just said with this idea of internal and external drivers. So if we take the example of the municipality and the regional Metro Vancouver, they act kind of as the external drivers, and they can do a lot as external drivers because they can set up new legislation, they can work on the building code, for instance, they can also implement specific KPIs in their bidding process and their procurement process, and KPIs that, of course, social KPIs, like not just economic ones, to kind of force the district heating companies and the whole value chain to align with their vision of social sustainability and to implement it. So that would be kind of an external driver, and they can be really proactive in becoming these external drivers for social sustainability. And I think also they can play a role in implementing some social sustainability activities into their own processes. So being kind of a very responsible municipality and setting the example also for the other companies around and for their partners. If in their own processes, they're very transparent, they encourage participation and community inclusion. They try to get out of silo thinking and to link urban planning with energy planning, with other types of planning, and really work in a transversal way throughout the whole municipality. I think these are very good examples. And then the companies they are working with can kind of see that the municipality is innovative and wants to go for inclusion, for holistic development and holistic thinking, and they can then engage in this dynamic. So they can be both an external driver and they can be an example that will help the dynamic and support the dynamic for the other actors and the other stakeholders.
And I believe in Europe, we see first indications on social sustainability requirements in public procurement, in district energy and elsewhere, but these there is often a knowledge gap, so you need to really be knowledgeable about social sustainability to put the right kind of requirements. But if you do, I think that can be a very good tool for a municipality.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. And I think also on this knowledge gap, it's about building the criteria and the standards with the other actors so that you can't just put a new criteria and just expect somehow that the companies can abide with it. So there is a whole process also of co-creating, and here the municipality can be really a driver into setting this type of dynamic and this type of work with their with the other stakeholders, with the companies they want to procure with, and decide on the standards for the industry or the standards for the sector with them. So that would be on the kind of public part. And then, Hannah, your question was also on the the district heating company, what they can do to benefit from this social dimension. So here it's kind of what Kristina said about internalizing these external drivers. So first, if they don't follow this dynamic, if they don't abide, they will kind of fall behind. So of course, if they don't actively abide by the new legislation, if they don't abide with the new criteria for procurement, for instance, they won't win the markets and they won't be competitive, and then they have, in some way, they are forced to abide with the social dimension. So this is the first way they benefit from it, is that if they don't do it, they fall behind. And then another way where they can be more proactive is that if they actively try to improve their social impact, they will have more acceptance, they will be more linked to the local stakeholders, they have an easier integration into the ecosystem, which means a better business case, which means a competitive advantage. So it's also, if they don't do it, they fall behind, but if they do it, they can transform this into a competitive advantage. And also if they don't, that's something we said at the very start about the whole value chain. If they don't try to improve their social impact, they will most probably have a negative one. And then they will have a bad image and it will be harder for them to get these markets, even without the external drivers of the regulation or the criteria from the municipalities.
And in this context, I think you can actually introduce a couple of actions to take if you want to foster social sustainability. You can make an analysis of your value chain to create awareness. Where could we make an action that would, you know, increase our strength here in the social sustainability aspect? They can also actively go out and reach out to relevant stakeholders in the community to see how they can jointly work on new solutions. This can also lead to new businesses, right? So that's something we see would be a natural development of district energy business cases for the future. In another study we made for the future business models, we saw that outreach and interacting with stakeholders in new ways is the way forward. And I think that also applies to the social aspect. And then most importantly, I think, is to challenge your existing business case, because old habits die hard and cash cows are very appetizing, but at some point in time, they will stop delivering milk. So you have to reconsider the way you are operating and have your business set up for you.
Just linked to that, when you were saying about the analysis, so I think analyzing your value chain to see where you have strength and when you can strengthen your strength, but also where you are very weak and where you can have a negative impact to mitigate this impact is important. But also linked to what you said, to reach out and create partnerships, the analysis of your ecosystem and understanding all the local stakeholders you have around you and all the stakeholders in your value chain outside yourself, it's very important to see where there are opportunities and to be able to seize these opportunities and to understand where you have resources that you're not using yet and where you can strengthen your link to your local stakeholders.
Social sustainability impacts also the business model. Christina, can you explain why?
Yes, we came across it in our talks here that what activities you do impacts the strength or competitiveness of your business model. And when you start involving the social dimension, this is when you kind of shift the boundary conditions of your business case. You engage with more stakeholders, as we said, you have new kinds of contracts with them, you shift responsibilities, you build things together, you maybe even co-invest together. So that's an important element of a social business model. And then these new partnerships and the new collaboration forms and the new uses of assets, that's what kind of makes it possible for you to anchor yourself to the community, because you are not only an operator in isolation in an own silo, but you have interconnected with many parts of the society, and that's also very helpful for the competitiveness of your business case. For example, your key partnerships become much more emphasized and important in the social business model context.
And we see district heating connecting more and more to other sectors like industry, electricity system. So I guess this just enhances it even more.
Yes, this is sector coupling, right? So you can benefit not only from your own sector, but interacting with other sectors and strengthening them. You have the flexibility aspect of district energy versus electricity, for example. So you can both learn from other sectors and contribute to them. And the meta conclusion on this social sustainability dimension is that it requires a new mindset and interacting with stakeholders in ways you didn't do before. And that's not necessarily linked to technology. It's more of a people-to-people skill.
And to add on this very nice conclusion, I think there is a mirror, because this is the case for the district heating company, but of course it can be mirrored on the municipality side. If they engage with all their departments, if they have a more holistic way of planning and thinking about their energy in an integrated way within their urban environment, it will, of course, facilitate that the district heating company can create some sector coupling and work with the other sectors.
Thank you, Joanna and Christina, and thank you to the IEA DHC. We encourage you to read the report and the upcoming articles in the Sciences Corner of Hot and Cool. Thank you very much.